Ooh.
Do you hear that thunder?
Bethany, it hit me first and then it hit you.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Oh, that's crazy.
Thunder and lightning, it's getting exciting.
It's moving from west to east.
Oh, you're west, I'm east.
I got it 3 seconds before you did.
I love this weather.
Wait, did you just inadvertently call me the Wicked Witch of the West?
Yes.
Fuck you.
Oh, well, and also with you.
Stop laughing, this is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an acquired taste podcast. I'm Kathleen, your brownie eating, donut eating, bagel eating, cookie eating friend.
And I'm Bethany, your all black wearing, loving this gloomy weather. I'm so happy my friend is back, friend.
Oh, and every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we're inviting you to join us. This week, we're talking about
how to stop trying to solve other people's problems. Because everyone is so stressed out right now, and for so many very valid reasons. But we cannot take on everyone else's problems. They don't want us to, and we'll drive ourselves insane. What about you, Kathleen? What are we talking about this week?
I'm so excited for this, Bethany. I feel like a real reporter.
Oh, yeah.
The mystery of West Virginia's dead birds and mutilated dolls.
Whoa! I have not heard of this.
I'm telling you, there's not even that much information online about it. I have no idea how I stumbled across this story, but I was sucked in the second I started reading about it. And then I started having to do my own investigative research and I started calling law enforcement agencies in West Virginia. And I'm like, hello, I'm Kathleen, a reporter from an Acquired Taste podcast.
I am so impressed with you. I love it when it's your turn to do the spooky topic because I just like sitting down and being told a story.
I want to know what's going on with these like local municipalities in West Virginia where there's things that are more important than the satanic campsites that have been popping up. There's just not enough reporting on it and I'm ready to take it over.
You're going to blow the lid off this story.
I am going to Adnan Syed the shit out of this story.
I have to tell you, I did the same thing. I'm very pleased that we've both fallen down this rabbit hole because I was talking to my dad on the phone last week and he was saying how his previous home had very dark energy in it. And he saw like someone was whispering to him. His stepdaughter was hearing screams, but they didn't hear her screaming in the house, but she was screaming for like 10 minutes. So I started doing all this investigation and I went on the website diedinhouse.com, which this is not an ad for them. And I paid the $11 to run a report. And this is the first time I have ever had someone come up as having died in a house. And my dad had someone who passed away in his house. And then I did further investigation. I ran like public record searches. I discovered that a man had killed himself in my dad's basement. And my dad moved in a year after this man killed himself in the basement. And I felt like such a legit news reporter trying to like find all of this information and pull together. And like, I sent my dad a straight up dossier on his old house. And it's so much fun to do your own investigations.
What was that website again?
Diedinhouse.com.
I don't know what the law is, and I bet it's different in every state, but shouldn't they have to disclose to you if someone has died in the house when they're selling it to you or no?
I think it varies state by state. For sure. I think some states you have to disclose if there was a violent situation or a violent death.
Gotcha.
Some you don't. But dad's house, straight up, he lived there for a couple years and then they just had to leave because the energy was gnarly. Like his girlfriend at the time woke up to someone sitting on the bed and her eyes were closed. So she was like, oh, it's probably, you know, my dad, her boyfriend. She opened her eyes and no one was there. And then the bed lifted again as though the person got up. And my dad had the same thing happen to him. Like he heard someone whisper in his ear and he thought it was his girlfriend and she was on the other side of the house. So this is why detectives must just love their jobs, because you start putting pieces together and a whole story emerges. My God.
I'm really quite disappointed in myself that I didn't realize earlier in life that I truly wanted to be a detective.
It's never too late. I wonder what you'd have to do. You have to go to like cop school, right?
Something like that. And so I just turned 34. I have exactly 1 year until I'm too old to be in the CIA or the FBI, no. or at least apply to get in. So I really have to make that tough decision this year.
My younger sister came to the realization that she wished she had gone into forensic odontology, which is like dead people teeth, like looking at dead people teeth.
No way.
But I think she's over it now.
I would be amiss if I didn't give a shout out to all of our taste buds for checking in on me. Two episodes ago, I did a really sad episode about how I had to say goodbye to my father. And I'm only reminded to say this, Bethany, because you said the word forensic.
Oh, yeah.
and my dad was a forensic scientist. And my dad did die last week and we buried him yesterday. And all of the messages that I received from our taste buds have been so kind and just so heartwarming. And it was really, I am astounded by the response that I got from people who listen to this podcast. So a genuine, hearty, deeply felt thank you from the bottom of my heart to everybody. And yeah.
Are you okay recording this week? I mean, I know that like we talked about this earlier, but I think it, you know, it helps as a listener to know that you're here and you're okay.
Yeah, you know, I took a week off and Bethany sort of cobbled together a podcast last week from things that we had previously recorded. So Bethany, also a huge thank you to you and our editor, Charlotte, for putting that together so I could kind of lay low for a week. I do have to tell you, you did a topic about horror movies erasing anxiety.
Yeah.
And the day before my father's funeral, so we buried him on 420, hearty hardcore.
Light him up. Legalize it.
He was a forensic scientist in the narcotics department for New Jersey State Police.
Oh, it's super appropriate.
It was so appropriate. And so we buried him on 420. And the day before that was a Sunday. And I just sat in front of the TV all Sunday watching horror movies because I kind of wanted to be numb.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to feel the feels. And it was the weirdest experience I've ever had because I did not get scared once. And I watched five or six really scary movies.
What?
Have you ever seen Cabin in the Woods?
Yes. I love that movie.
That took a turn that I didn't realize was coming.
So creative, right?
Such a good movie. Yeah. Such a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I watched also The Strangers Prey at Night, which was a follow-up to a movie called The Strangers, I believe.
You know what? I haven't seen that. I haven't seen The Strangers either, which I know I need to.
I think I saw The Strangers a long time ago. And you can watch The Strangers Prey at Night. You can stream it for free. If you have a Fire Stick, you can find it that way. The Strangers Prey at Night, you didn't need to see the first one, but it was really scary. It was really scary. That maybe have been the only movie where I audibly went, ah!
And it helped. It helped your brain just sort of pull away.
Oh my goodness. So much. It just shut down my body. That and a chalice of wine.
That helps too. Yeah, if you missed that episode, I think it's a couple of episodes ago. And it's just, yeah, talking about how some people with anxiety really find that scary movies help them. And not for everyone, but if it works for you, man, it's great.
Took my mind off of everything that I didn't want to think about. It was a huge relief. Miss Bethany, what's been going on with you lately? Does maybe your sister have like something coming out?
Yeah, so my older sister, whose name is Nicole, has her debut novel out today.
Yay!
And it's called Unscripted. I've talked about it a little bit on the podcast before, but it's this wonderful book about a girl named Zelda who goes to a really elite summer camp for improv, for like comedy. And it talks about when you have a crush on someone and you kind of don't realize that they start to manipulate you and it can become a really dark kind of abusive relationship without you even realizing it happening. And this lead character is so intelligent and yet it even happens to her. And it's not all serious. It's very funny. It has these wonderful characters in it. It's this wonderful, funny, very smart story that I think would have changed my life if I had read it when I was a preteen or a teenager. It would have made me more aware of the way that people can treat each other and to be on the lookout for that. So if you're someone who has a preteen or a teenager, no matter if they're male, female, however they identify, like it's it's a great book, and I think it should be required reading for people who are coming into relationship age.
Or if you're like me, and I consider myself a 30-nager. Because yeah. Anything that was made for teens was also made for me. I am very excited to read it. And you know what drives me nuts about pre-ordering a book? Why don't they send it out the day before the book is supposed to arrive on shelves so you get it in your mailbox, like on the day that it's, because I haven't received your sister's book yet.
I haven't either. I ordered 5 copies.
And it's making me very angry.
I think part of it is coronavirus. I think that shipping is taking longer because some people have received it already. I just haven't. And you and I ordered it from different places. So if you pre-ordered, you should have it very, very soon. But yeah, please, and support your local booksellers. You can find different websites online to buy books, not just from Amazon or from Barnes & Noble, to help support small booksellers.
Booksellers. I saw this really funny meme yesterday, I think. It was a Corona meme, and it was like, hey, you remember reading? It's a thing. Hey, you remember books?
Speaking of Corona, can I just complain really quickly?
Yeah, you can always complain to me, girlfriend. I'm your sounding board.
I am so sick of seeing my own face, because now anytime you do a meeting and you do it on Zoom, I do not want to see my face. I'm sick of my face. I don't want to look at how I look when I'm listening. And I do like my workouts. Sometimes I do like aerial workouts on Zoom.
Yeah.
I see myself working out. I don't want to see how I look in workout class. I'm so sick of my own face.
Hear you. And it's hard not to just ignore everybody else in the chat and just I stare at myself.
I know,
like,
me too.
Like, you and I do this over Skype, yeah. And luckily Skype is set up in such a way where, like, I'm looking at Adobe Audition is what we use to record. Like, I'm making sure that it doesn't shut down and it keeps recording. And then Skype allows me to have, like, one little corner in my computer where I'm just looking at you.
Yes.
So I don't have to look at myself too, which I think is a nicer feature than Zoom. But have you enabled the Zoom beauty feature yet, Bethany?
What?
You haven't heard of this?
No.
Zoom has a filter that makes you look more beautiful. It sort of just like glosses you over a little bit.
Is that why my sister looks so flawless when we group chat?
I bet it is.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, snap.
There's also this other thing that you can download. So it's called Snap Camera. Have you seen people like screenshots and memes on Instagram or whatever of people turning themselves into characters on Zoom chats? Like one of them is a potato.
No, wait. No. All I know about is that some people are able to make their backgrounds different, but I'm not because my processor is too small.
Oh, yeah. Changing in the backgrounds is a fun thing too. But if you download this thing called Snap Camera, you have to close your Zoom out completely because it won't work if your Zoom is open while you're doing it. Download Snap Camera. And essentially, I think Snap Camera is a product of Snapchat. So you download Snap Camera, you open up your Zoom, you like go into the settings and you can link it to your Snap Camera. And Snap Camera has all those beautiful filters that you can do on Snapchat where you can like add hearts to your face or like a dusting of freckles or make yourself look like you're underwater.
I want a dusting of freckles.
Yes, I'm telling you, Snap Camera, if you're sick of Zoom, spice things up with some Snap Camera.
Okay, my family has no idea what's about to hit them on our next
group
chat.
No, they do not.
Oh, I'm so excited.
You are going to show up looking like a potato.
So before coronavirus, we were all incredibly busy. So many things fall to the bottom of our to-do list, including taking care of ourselves, right?
Yeah.
And so now we have this time to be doing some introspection and sitting with ourselves. And also, a lot of people are very stressed right now. And this is why we love Talkspace.
Yes, Talkspace is an online therapy that is so convenient and affordable. It's going to help you make lasting changes in your life with the support of a licensed therapist.
A lot of people think that therapy is just about going through your dreams or blaming your mom for something or lying on a couch and crying.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily what all therapy is. It's also a great tool for developing coping skills, dealing with stress, and also you have someone who's holding you accountable if you are trying to make changes in your life.
Therapy has changed my life. I can never go back to a life without therapy, and I want everyone to just give it a try once. Talkspace is so easy to use.
You don't have to go to a therapist's office because Talkspace is where you are when you need them. You can text your therapist, you can have calls, you can have videos. Look, the bottom line is that life can be hard, and Talkspace wants more of us to get the support we need at a price we can afford.
As a listener of this podcast, you can get $100 off of your first month on Talkspace.
To match with your perfect therapist, go to TalkSpace.com or download the app. And then make sure to use the code TASTE to get $100 off of your first month and show your support for the show.
That's the code TASTE, T-A-S-T-E, at TalkSpace.com.
Okay, Kathleen, how often does this happen to you where someone is going through something very serious and it ruins your day because you're so worried about them that you can't let go of it and you are trying to solve their problem and then you just worry and they've left your house and you're still worried about them?
Yeah, I mean, 100% of the time. I'm a Pisces. I absorb other people's energy.
Okay, that's a bad thing. I do the exact same thing and it has been causing major problems for me because it makes me not able to live my own life. I had an entire day ruined because I was just really worried about a friend who wasn't able to get through to unemployment.
With Corona and everything happening, there's a lot of negative energy circulating right now. So if you're one of those people who maybe your significant other is going through a tough time or your family member or your friends are going through a tough time, it's hard not to sort of be hyper-focused on their struggles.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one thing when it's your stupid cousin and she's just complaining about her stupid boyfriend and you're like, you're both stupid. And I'm just here because our grandma's telling us to be here. It's a different thing, but it's like, you know, your mom's salon is shutting down and she doesn't know how she's going to make rent, right? So
I know.
But we have to stop trying to solve other people's problems. So there's this great website called goodtherapy.org, and therapist Lindsay Anton says that she calls other people's problems hot potatoes because of the game Hot Potato, because they feel really urgent. But nobody wants to be left holding the hot potato, especially if the hot potato does not belong to you. You don't want to be the one holding it when the music goes off, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's one thing to keep in mind. The world is not engineered to be problem-free for anyone. None of us are promised an easy, clean, smooth road.
Life's not fair.
Right.
End of story.
End
period.
Of story. So there's a difference between loving and supporting someone and trying to fix their problems and make them happy. And by the way, my sources here are goodtherapy.org, like I just said. Also, Gabby Bernstein has a couple of articles about this. I have mixed feelings about her, but...
Who's Gabby Bernstein?
She is like a self-help person. Her training appears to be a theater degree. So she and I have the same level of training to be like a self-help guru.
Yeah.
But Oprah,
her and Dr. Phil.
Yeah. But like Oprah's had her on and that kind of thing. So, you know, take it for what it is. But she has some good points. So you can love and support someone who's going through something hard. You cannot fix their problems. You cannot make them happy.
Wait, can I get a little bit of personal with you for a second?
Sure.
Your friend who can't get through to the unemployment office.
Yeah, it was totally Dennis.
you're talking about your boyfriend.
Yeah.
So this is because of Corona, right? Yep. So his clients are, I guess they're canceling on him or?
Yeah, I mean, luckily he has a couple of clients that he can still do remote shoots for and editing for. But yeah, I mean, there's one huge client he just got that, of course, they can't shoot anything right now because no one can be together. And so he reached out to unemployment, and like most people in New York, he had a really hard time getting through. He was on hold for, I think, 5 hours one Sunday night. And then a couple weekends ago, he got through to a different queue. He was put on a silent queue. And he waited in that for over 2 hours before it just got disconnected and he was hung up on.
You know, do you watch John Oliver on HBO? He did an episode recently about how unemployment offices in this whole country, they're really just so terrible right now.
I mean, he finally was able to get through to someone. They called him and he said it definitely sounded like they're building the parachute as they fall. They're trying to figure out what to do because obviously they're super overwhelmed. But it's really hard to see somebody that you love go through that.
You were absorbing some of Dennis's stressful energy.
Completely.
It was affecting you.
Yeah. And I was also like, how can I fix this? I was like going through and thinking like, should I be paying his rent? Can I afford to pay his rent? Is it my job to pay? Like, I've been doing that with my local businesses too, wondering if they're going to be okay. Is there something I should be doing to make sure they're okay? I can't use them because they're closed. Should I be offering money? Like, I don't have that kind of money, but I'm just trying to figure out how to fix it. And it's at the end of the day, not my journey, not my story, not my problem.
So you're going to teach us today like how to support and love your friends, just not absorb their energy.
Yes. So if you're trying to take on somebody else's problems or trying to take on the responsibility of their happiness, mm-hmm. that can actually hurt the other person in the long run. It's something to remember because they need to be learning something from this experience. And if you fix it for them, you're taking away those lessons that they should be learning. So mm-hmm. let's say it's something a little bit more dire. Let's say it's a substance abuse problem. If yeah. you're bending over backwards to make sure that the person doesn't get angry so that they don't start drinking, or so you're always walking on eggshells to make sure that they only feel happiness so they don't start using something, that's going to keep that person from potentially hitting rock bottom, which means yeah. that it's going to take longer for them to heal.
Honestly, some of my best lessons in life and some of my most prolific moments of clarification came from my rock bottoms.
Yeah. Oh, they're so incredibly profoundly useful. They're awful, but you really do have to hit them.
Yeah.
If you're not going to change until you hit that rock bottom.
Yeah.
It's also possible that this person doesn't want to change. So if you're trying to bend over backwards and blah, 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 you could be doing that for years. And deep down, this person may never take your advice. They may keep making the same choices. And so this cycle mm-hmm. between you and them is never going to stop because you're trying to fix it and they don't want to fix it, right?
You know, with all this stuff happening with Corona and small businesses being in trouble and people finding other ways to make money, it really is going to be when this is all over. And I'm sure this is going to apply to dentists too. Those who are most capable of morphing and changing and finding new solutions to their mm-hmm. problems, they're the ones that are going to be successful in the long run.
Totally.
And those who are unwilling to change, like, you know, sort of the situation that you're talking about, Bethany, right now, how, you know, if they're unwilling to change and unwilling to learn in the long run, if you try to help them solve their problems, it's just doing more harm than good.
And it might put a wrench in your relationship because they may start to really resent you. But I'm not saying that you should just blow them off and tell them, not my problem.
Yeah, fuck you, not my problem.
Right. There's a difference between supporting somebody, which you should do, and trying to fix them and make them happy, which you shouldn't do.
No, fuck you, not my problem.
Yeah, if you say that to a friend, you have one less friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So for people who aren't trained therapists like you and me, it can be really tiring being the one that friends and family go to, you know, talk about their daily dramas.
Well, yeah, especially if you're the one that's empathetic, you yeah. sort of are the landing board sometimes.
So here's a couple ideas for passing a problem back to its rightful owner. In case you want to try and fix it, here's what you should do.
Okay.
When someone shares a problem with you, remember, it's not always an invitation to help them problem solve.
Mm.
Unless they are paying you to problem solve, like you're a therapist or you're a consultant, often the other person just wants to vent. And all you have to do is listen, actively listen, show empathy, be genuine and understanding. But you don't have to fix it. You can say things like, that sounds really difficult, or that's incredibly frustrating, or yeah, that would upset me too. It shows that you're listening, it's validating their feelings, but it passes everything back to them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I hear you and I see you.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of what I try to do, which is, well, have you tried? Well, what if you?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should.
Let's make a list of pros and cons.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Okay. The other thing is, when you're attempting to solve someone else's problems by giving them advice or offering to do something for them, it's a little bit what I said before. You don't want to rob the other person of the chance to use their own skills. This comes into effect more with parents and children. If it's a kid who's coming at you with their problem, this is great for them to start using some of the problem-solving skills that they have instead of you jumping in as a parent and being like, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to have a meeting with the teacher. I'm going to talk to the kid and I'm going to do your science project. And then you're going to go to college and you're going to have no life skills. Ding. Mm-hmm.
Ding.
So a great question is, what do you think you're going to do?
Yeah.
Then they can throw out some ideas and maybe you can chime in on what you think about those ideas, but it lets them start the ball rolling.
I love that. What do you think you're going to do?
What do you think you're going to do?
These are great parenting tips too.
Totally. Yeah. They really, really are. Because I think, I don't know, I don't have kids, but if Loki came up to me and had a problem, I would just like want to jump in and fix it. Because his little face.
I was just going to ask you, do you think this will work with our cats? Like, When they look at their food and they don't want to eat it, just look at them and say, well, what do you think you're going to do?
When Loki doesn't have enough tuna juice, like, tell mom, Loki don't have no more tuna juices. Loki need more tuna.
Well, Loki, what are you going to do?
What do you think you're going to do? You got to learn how to use a can opener. Okay, here are some other actions that you can take. If you are a religious or a spiritual person, you can pray for them. You can chant for them. You can put good energy into the universe for them. It's a very proactive step you can take because a lot of this is you feel like useless and like you're not helpful, right?
Yeah.
Another thing, tell yourself you can trust that they are strong enough to handle whatever it is they're going through. And this is one that I have to remind myself of. I know, for example, that Dennis is strong enough to figure this out and to get through this without me trying to take it all on for him. I know, Kathleen, you are strong enough to go through all of the sadness you've been going through and make it out the other side. We have to trust that other people are capable of handling their lives.
You know, there's something so empowering about the two things that you just mentioned. The first thing is telling someone that you're praying for them or thinking of them. There's so much strength to be on the receiving end of that.
Yeah.
Also, when you tell someone you're strong enough to get through this, being on the receiving end of that, which I have been many times lately, particularly from your mom, Bethany, who just has this way with words in her text messages where she just is like, I'm thinking of you. You and your family are in my prayers. Like, my meditation today was dedicated to you.
Yeah.
When you say that to somebody who you know is going through a tough time, it is just like it's an emotional strengthener. It's like emotional steroids.
It is. It's kind of the same as a hype up song. You know, when you're ready to go play a sport and you listen to, like, I don't know, Bush. Is that an artist people still listen to?
Or Queen?
You listen to Queen when you're out ready to play a sport.
We are the champions.
Yeah, and you're getting your sport shoes on and, you know, your co-sporters are ready to go out to do the big performance.
Yeah.
Like, or, it hypes you up.
My hype song of choice, You're a Genie in a Bottle.
It's my karaoke song. It's a good song. You know, it just makes you realize that you're strong and it builds up your self-confidence and you stand up a little straighter. And when someone does say to you, like, you can handle this, you're very strong.
Yeah,
you do. You stand up a little bit straighter. You feel a little bit better about yourself. I'm not even a religious person, but if someone says they're praying for me, I fully believe it. And I'm like, thank you. Because I don't know what's out there. But if you have an inroads to someone who can, like, make a difference, I really appreciate that.
Yes.
Lastly, I'm going to do this quote from Gabby Bernstein, which I liked. You want to accept people for who they are instead of trying to change them, right? So she says, when you try to change someone, you're effectively saying that you know what is best for them. Your unsolicited help is a way of controlling and judging them. People may not show up the way you want them to, but when you accept them where they are, you can let go, forgive, and release. So those are just a couple of little tips on how to not take on other people's problems. It's not a huge extensive list, but I think it's very useful. And remind yourself, this journey is going to serve them. They're going to pick up some skills they need later down the road. And if they don't pick them up now, you know, it's like the only video game reference I know, which is Zelda. If, like, you don't get the key now and someone else gets the key and it's like, I'll walk along beside you and take the key. Well, now you don't have the key when you need to get to the next thing. And that other person's not there and you never got the key yourself. And then what are you going to do? You can't.
So what's happening with Dennis right now? Was he able to get through it all?
Yeah. So they gave him a call over the weekend and he talked to this really lovely man who helped him figure it all out and everything's great. Like, and that's another thing I always say to myself, and I say it to you sometimes too, is everything is going to work out because there's no other option. When it comes to unemployment, trying to file for unemployment, eventually you have to figure it out.
Yeah.
You have to. So you will. Trust that you will and take some of the stress away.
The odds are working for you because all of the hardest times in your life, you have 100% made it through them as long as you're still alive.
You're here.
It
hasn't killed you yet.
It hasn't killed you yet. Man, I'm really thinking of Dennis and so many other people who are going through financial struggles during this time of COVID. It's a weird, strange world out there. And it feels like we're hermit crabs trapped inside our shells.
Yeah, it really does. It's very odd. One thing I do like about it is that I feel like I'm seeing more of my friends and family than I did before because we're Zooming all the time. Yes. And like friends are checking in on me. I'm checking in on them more than ever. And there is sort of that little silver lining to the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't mind it. And it really has proven to me how little I truly need.
What's the number one thing that you keep going back to as you're in quarantine, Kathleen?
I keep ordering takeout because I want to support my local restaurants. But other than that, like, I'm not really spending any money. I splurged for a new deodorant the other day and that felt like a luxury.
Yeah, I just need my Marple shows.
Your Marple?
I need Acorn streaming service, and I need Agatha Christie's Marple. All six seasons of it. But because it's a British show, it's like six seasons, but about seven episodes. Because like each episode is like an hour and a half and there's only two or three.
You know
what?
When quarantine is done, I'm holding your, what's the saying? Sword to the fire. Is that a thing? Your throat to the...
Feet to the feet flame.
Throat to the candle.
Yes, you're going to hold my throat to the candle.
You need to have a murder mystery party at your house.
Dude, yes. But via Zoom.
No. People need to come over when quarantine is done to your house.
Sometimes they don't leave. That's the problem, Kathleen. How do you get people to leave once they come over?
You just yell, party's over.
Leave my house.
The cops are here. Scram, everybody.
Or because I live where I live, sometimes my landlady just calls the cops if she doesn't recognize the people in my apartment. She's a delight.
You could hire cops to just tell everybody that this building is illegal and they need to leave.
Oh, that's what I would do. That's how my murder mystery party will end. One body and two cops.
Bethany, you and I were recently introduced to this company called Mack Weldon. They are incredibly well-made basics for men or women, you know, whatever. So I recently placed an order with Mack Weldon and I got a bunch of basics for my husband because, you know, everyone's working from home right now and he was running out of comfortable things that he can sit at home at his desk all day talking to his coworkers on Zoom. They came. The quality was so amazing.
So Dennis got a few of their t-shirts and they fit him perfectly. The thing I love about Mack Weldon is that if you know what size you are, you go on their size guide, that is going to be your size across the board. There are so many companies, especially buying online, where you never know what size you are going from one item to the next. Mack Weldon, their sizing is consistent. And yes, they're quote unquote menswear. They do like button down shirts. They do t-shirts. They do workwear. They do loungewear. But I love men's button down shirts. So I got one for myself as well. And it looks great. It's incredibly soft.
You know what? The difference is in the details. And you're not going to get a hole in it after your first wear like you do at some of your cheaper stores. It's just not going to happen.
And Mack Weldon is a great company. They really do value their loyal customers. And so they've created the Weldon Blue loyalty program. So first, you create an account. It's free. Level one, if you place an order for any amount, you never pay for shipping again.
What?
Level two, once you purchase $200 worth of products from Mack Weldon, not only do you keep getting free shipping, but you will also start saving 20% on every order you make for the next year.
No, you're kidding me. Really?
I wouldn't kid you on menswear. And then also, level two, you also have access to new products before they're released to anyone else and free gifts added to future orders. So for 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and then enter the promo code TASTE.
Again, for 20% off of your first order, visit Mack Weldon. That's MackWeldon.com and enter the promo code TASTE.
Let's face it, most razors don't cut it, pun. We deserve better than overpriced brands and skin scraping bargain blades. If you're someone who gets your razor in a package of 12 and then you can't figure out why your legs are all cut up.
Mm-hmm.
And Kathleen, when's the last time you changed your razor?
It was about a year before we were introduced to the Athena Club razor. And let me tell you, when I shaved my legs with this new Athena Club razor, I was like, oh, this is what smooth legs feel like.
We love them. Athena Club's razor is expertly designed. It's meant to work with your curves, not against them.
And I love that the Athena Club razor blades are enhanced with shea butter and water-activated serum. So you get that like really silky, smooth, close shave. And you don't get any razor burn because sometimes the skin on my legs can be a little bit sensitive.
Totally. Athena Club's razor is designed with the sharpest patented blades on the market. And every razor head comes with five best-in-class American-made blades. But also, it comes with this little magnetic dot that sticks to your shower wall, and it just magnetizes to the razor, so you don't have to worry about the razor like slipping. It's sticking magnetically to your shower wall.
And the best part about all of this is the Athena Club razor kit, which is only $9. It includes two razor heads and that magical magnetic holder Bethany was just talking about, and replacement blades can be auto shipped so you never run out.
Athena Club isn't just razors. They carry all of the self-care essentials you need. They have period care, body care, wellness supplements, and every product is made from clean and sustainable ingredients.
So stop using razors that underdeliver and switch to Athena Club.
Sign up today and you'll get 15% off your first order.
Just go to athenaclub.com and use the promo code TASTE.
That's athenaclub.com with the promo code TASTE for 15% off.
athenaclub.com, promo code TASTE. Bethany.
Kathleen.
I accidentally stumbled upon this really weird, yet also incredibly terrifying story coming out of West Virginia.
Kathleen, tell me everything.
Okay, so this isn't getting a lot of coverage yet.
Yet. But now it is.
I only nailed down three credible sources reporting this story so far.
What do you mean by credible?
Like news outlets.
So not like omgcryptids.org?
No, like no blogspots. Okay. Just like...
Okay. Angel Fire website?
No. GeoCity.
Where your cursor is just like a fairy that follows the cursor around.
Or you have like, you have a secret message written in white font and you have to highlight it to see it.
Oh my God, I miss the early internet.
I do too. Okay. Oh. So in two different instances in West Virginia, scenes that look like they are straight out of a movie about satanic sacrifice have been found on public park property.
Metal.
The first one happened at a recreational area called Lake Sherwood.
Okay.
And the second one happened about an hour away. And I think it's approximately an hour away from what I can...
As the crow flies?
As the crow flies. From what I can tell in my very rudimentary research, because there's not a lot of details, in another recreational area in West Virginia called Blue Bend. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
It is my understanding that both of these scenes were discovered on the mornings of April 17th.
Oh, so they both happened at the same time.
At the same time.
Oh, near.
Warning to taste buds listening, what I'm about to describe is disturbing. And I will post the photos on our website. I'm going to do a little write-up about when I'm talking about this podcast so you can see it with your very own eyes. It is extremely disturbing.
Kathleen, you know that giving that warning only makes me want to listen more.
Well, yeah, I mean, I am an entertainer at heart, so you know.
You are. You have the soul of an entertainer, but the brain of a podcaster.
So NBC affiliate WVVA, like the West Virginia version of Channel 4, you know, in your local area. They're reporting on both of the instances. Now, the first instance happened at Lake Sherwood, which is in a national forest in West Virginia. So it's public land. Like, you can go there and walk around. I'm sure there are hiking trails and stuff like that. The photographs that WVVA has on their website, Bethany, it's insane.
So can you describe, build it in my mind's eye.
Okay.
Use your words to create a picture.
Scene number one.
Okay.
Shows a charred fire pit looking area. There's burned wood in the center of the fire pit, and it's outlined by low circular rocks, just like a single row of rocks. So it's not a wall.
Okay.
Inside the pit, there's burned scraps of wood. And then there are also some undistinguishable items. Maybe like a small blue plastic ball. Maybe like a small ceramic bowl.
Okay.
It looks like the type of bowl that you would use with a mortar and pestle. You know, really thick.
Yeah.
And on the surrounding rocks at the fire pit, things get a little bit more interesting. There are melted down candles inside of candlesticks.
Yes.
There are tea candles that have been burned.
Yes.
There's a tambourine.
Oh!
There's a glove, a white glove, sitting on top of a rock. And it looks like maybe it's a glove from a costume because the fingers are a little bit bulbous.
So it's kind of like a jazz glove.
Or like if you were a character, like a Mickey Mouse character, and you had to wear these oversized glove type things.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Like, it's not a mitten that you would put on to commute to work. See what I'm saying?
And it's not like a high quality
leather glove. It's like a like a character glove.
It's a character glove, okay. But one of the fingers is cut off.
Oh, gross. Oh, amazing.
And on the rock, running from three of the fingers are, it looks like white paint just streaked down the side of the rock. And on top of this glove, it looks like it's painted in blood, unconfirmed blood. I mean, like, all there are online right now are photos of these incidents that happened 3 days ago. It looks like it's painted in blood, three straight lines, short lines with another line running through them all. Also on the rocks surrounding this fire pit are dolls of different varieties, Barbie dolls and such.
Okay.
And they're mutilated in a multitude of different ways. One Barbie with dark hair, and she looks like she's wearing an outfit that's homemade from linen. You know, not like the typical polyester outfits that Barbies wear.
Not something cute, something very plain.
Something very plain. It's this black conservative sort of like tunic, turtleneck top, and the sleeves are all shredded. And then the doll, it looks like it's wearing a traditional Mexican skirt. It's like red, and then it's got some rainbow stripes running along the bottom. The colors that you would see like on a traditional Mexican blanket.
Yeah, very colorful, very like bold, bright colors.
And that doll has six sewing pins stuck into her charred face.
Oh God, it's not good.
Her hair appears to have been cut. It's melted slightly. There are kind of white drops all over the doll's outfit. It looks like bird poop.
Oh gosh.
Another doll, more along the lines of a baby doll, is nailed to a tree with what looks like a steak knife. The doll is unclothed and both of its eyes are burned out.
Oh, gosh.
It also appears to have blood or sort of like a red liquid in its blonde hair. So, I mean, this whole thing, it's a scene. The fire pit, the doll nailed to the tree with the steak knife, also on another tree at the scene. There is a hooded sweatshirt and pajama pants, and they're affixed to a tree like a body, you know, torso on top.
I hate that.
Yep, pants on bottom. It's not clear how they are stuck to the tree. It looks like it's stuffed to resemble a person. And through one of the pockets of the sweatshirt is a makeshift dagger protruding from the tree with a red substance staining the sweatshirt where the dagger is in the pocket and at the waistband of the pajama pants.
So someone was really putting together a tableau here.
The whole ensemble is streaked with black paint. And on one of the pant legs of the pajama pants, it looks like there's a hieroglyphic or maybe a symbol. It looks like an A. All in black paint, like a halo on top of the A, like a slanted halo. And then if you look closely enough, maybe a lightning bolt. And underneath the pajama pants, there are two different sneakers affixed to the tree. Like if this were a real person, that's where their feet would be. And that's where they would be wearing their sneakers. It looks like an outfit a teenager might wear. The sweatshirt looks like it says Aero, like Aero Pastel.
Okay.
You know that store? The pajama pants are white with gray, black and blue cartoon owls, like an outfit for a teenager,
okay,
right?
Okay, yeah, totally.
And on the next tree over is a very plain cross. And from what I can tell, it might be made of palm. And I'm not sure how many types of Christianity celebrate Palm Sunday, but I'm a Roman Catholic. And so on Palm Sunday at church, they hand out crosses that have been made with palm leaves.
Sure, yeah. Palm fronds.
Palm crosses. And so it looks like that cross is made of palm. And so if you think about, I mean, Palm Sunday just passed. Yeah. Easter just passed. Palm Sunday was April 5th. So that's not that long ago.
Yeah, not at all.
Now, on the rocks surrounding the fire pit, there's one rock with the words "go away" written in white, white paint. Next to that is a smashed iPhone, a single Converse sneaker covered in what looks like to be blood, and then a metal bracelet that's just smashed on the ground.
Whoa, what the hell?
There are also some pieces of paper with writing on it. It looks like a combination of letters, mathematics, and hieroglyphics. One of these papers with hieroglyphics is inside a plastic sheet, and there's all this candle wax dripped on top of it. The only English word that you can make out is the word "you."
I do not like.
Now, the most disturbing part of this whole thing are the dead birds.
Oh, no.
In the first scene, from what I can tell from the photos, there are two dead birds, and it looks like they were smashed, like they're flat.
Oh, God.
Their faces are still intact for the most part, but it's like a car, like a car wheel ran over them. We've all seen dead birds like on the sidewalk or on the road, you know, where they get run over. That's how flat they are. And there's no blood leaking from them. And I don't know exactly how much blood birds have, but I suspect that some of the blood spatters that can be seen around the area are the birds that were drained.
Oh, God, that's awful. Oh, my God.
It's awful. It's awful. It also appears that one of the birds was cut open because its midsection is not totally intact. And upon studying the photos even more, it looks like maybe some of the bird's gizzards are scattered throughout the whole scene.
Jesus. This sounds like, at first it just sounded like, okay, it's like some teenagers who want to scare people and do like some creepy satanic thing.
But yeah, where they like hang their clothes on a tree.
Yeah. Or, you know, like have a bit, like I found a baby doll in a cemetery once and you could tell it was just like teenagers trying to be creepy. But this is very elaborate.
Yes. And one of the birds is sitting on top of a rock that is surrounded by a plain straw wreath. There are also two large bird feet that don't have a body to go to. One of the bird feet was just strewn upon the ground. The second bird foot is in this large mason jar that's filled with a yellow reddish liquid. And it leads me to believe that the foot was placed in the jar right after it was cut off. It looks like there's some blood in that water.
Ugh. I hate this.
Ugh. And the bird feet come from a larger bird. Like the other two birds are small. Like one of them is definitely a sparrow. So I started looking into symbolism of chicken feet because I have a feeling that the other two bird feet are chicken feet.
Yeah.
And in some cultures, particularly voodoo cultures, chicken feet represent protection.
Okay.
Particularly protection of your personal belongings, your home, your car, etc. Anything that belongs to you that you don't want to get stolen.
That makes sense. Do you remember when I went to that Airbnb in near San Francisco and the woman who owned it sort of adopted things from every tradition that she could find and took them all? She had a chicken foot sitting in her kitchen window, like right next to an Egyptian statue and also a dream catcher.
So
she sort of had a little of everything, but that makes sense because I wasn't sure what the chicken foot meant.
Now, also in voodoo culture, I was reading, according to the website, puzuzu.com.
Whoa!
P-U-Z-U-Z-U.com.
Do you know who that is?
No.
This is an awful demon.
Really?
Yeah, you're like not supposed to say the name as much. It's like, don't say the name anymore. It's not good.
Okay, so we'll call him. I don't know. I just won't say it.
Yeah.
According to that website, you should charge your chicken foot with a prayer.
Okay.
So it's more effective. Now, that website says that a really good prayer to charge your chicken foot with would be to Santa
Muerta.
Muerta.
Okay.
Thank you. The Lady of the Holy Ghost, a.k.a. Saint Death. And she is very prominent as a female deity in Mexican folk Catholicism.
Okay.
So remember I was talking about that doll that looked like she was wearing a traditional Mexican skirt?
Yes, yes.
How weird is that? Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. So I set the scene for you. Let's think about the timeline. Both of these scenes were discovered early morning on March 17th, which means they either happened late the night before March 16th or in the early morning of March 17th, or maybe a span of both. Let's think about what was happening with the moon on that day.
Uh-oh.
That was the first day of the waning crescent.
Oh.
So waning is when the moon shrinks.
Yeah.
So the moon's illumination is becoming smaller and smaller and smaller by the day. This particular moon cycle signifies surrender, also the start of new beginnings. A lot of people believe that the waning crescent of the moon is the end of the old cycle, the start of the approaching new one, and it's time to detach from the world and the rest of yourself. It's a time to think about your life and contemplate which things you should let go and to prepare for a new beginning.
Mm-hmm. So this would be the time to do, if you're someone who does ceremonies, this would be the time to do something that involves looking forward to next steps, shedding the past.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Also, waning moons are associated with exorcisms and getting rid of oneself and unwanted influences, like shedding, right? Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do an exorcism, a lot of people say it's best to do it when the moon is waning.
Do they think that that might be what was going on?
There are so few details. All that the sources, the West Virginia news outlets, all that they say is that it's being investigated. That's it. They haven't given any more details. So let me talk to you about the second scene. The second scene, there's some more details on because it was found by a Virginia resident. His name is Justin Villa. And he took all of these pictures and went on Facebook and posted all of them. And like, you know, his two cents, a whole caption about the whole thing. He found the second scene at a recreational area called Blue Bend.
Okay.
Where he had been fishing the night before late. So April 16th, he was fishing until 8:30 at night. Then he came back the next morning early on April 17th to fish again. And he saw the scene. So he says it definitely happened after 8:30 on April 16th. There, he also found mutilated dolls, melted candles, dead birds. Everything there was found atop a picnic table that had a built-in grill. You know when you're camping and you get a campsite and there's always like an area to put your tents and then usually there's a picnic table,
yeah,
a built-in grill that's affixed right into the ground, yeah, so you can't walk away with it?
Yeah.
That was where he found this second scene. So all over the table, there's red splatters. Not confirmed if it's blood, but these red splatters all over the table. On one of the picnic benches, someone made a cross from this dark green lace fabric that was ripped into strips. Right in the middle of the cross, there's a decorative teapot.
Mm.
And it's framed by two tiny teacups filled with red dried liquid. Yep. And this scene, different from the last one, has fruit.
Oh.
So fruit can signify a lot of things. And it would make sense that maybe this scene was done second because it's a different phase.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Fully.
Like the first one had that body, that, you know, that makeshift body nailed to the tree. And so this one has prunes. It looks like there are prunes strewed up on the table and there are three apples on the table. Prunes can symbolize a bunch of different things. Some people say they symbolize emotional or creative blockage. They may also represent aging. But I think in relation to what's happening at this scene, the prunes are meant to symbolize plum trees. And plum trees are a symbol of new beginnings.
Okay.
Uh-huh. There's also a piece of paper at the second scene with the words circle call written on the top of the paper. It's all done in pencil. And then under the word circle call, there's some hieroglyphics, and one of the hieroglyphics matches the three red lines with the fourth line running through it that was on top of the white glove in the first scene.
So it's the same people, or it's people from the same group,
yeah,
doing this.
Yeah. I mean, there are these mutilated dolls in the second scene as well. There are also more mason jars filled with undistinguishable items. It looks like there's another chicken foot on top of the picnic table. There's also a dead bird, and the dead bird is outlined with a circle of white powder.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you came upon this, this is very upsetting. I found some pictures. I'm looking at them online.
Yeah.
It's jarring. It's not just your typical, these are stupid little kids doing it. It probably is stupid kids doing it, but it's very intentional and meant to be very upsetting.
I don't know if this is kids doing it, Bethany. Like, this is, what kind of teenagers are going to smash and run over birds?
There's teenagers who have like major problems. To kill an animal, it's, blah, blah. But like, I just remember what kind of a teenager I was. And if steered in even a slightly different direction, I wouldn't have killed an animal, but I definitely would have thought it was funny to,
yeah,
try to freak people out.
Yeah, of course.
But like, this is elaborate.
Yep. Yep. Oh, God. So the bird foot on the second scene is next to three different apples. One of those apples has a hole carved into it. Oh, you think of apples, it's the forbidden fruit, you know?
Sure.
In a lot of ancient Greek paintings, Venus is holding the fruit. Apples are tantalizing, can be good, can be evil type fruit.
Sure.
There's also a clock on the ground at the second scene with the numbers 333 written on it. It looks like someone dipped their finger in blood and wrote 333 on the face of the clock.
I wonder what that's about.
And then on the frame of the clock, it says, "We are many, we see all."
Oh, God.
The same message is written on a large piece of paper at the scene. It also looks like someone dipped their finger in blood and wrote it. I was looking up what what 333 means. And before we started this podcast, I asked you, I said, Bethany, do you know what 333 means? And you actually told me that you did.
I mean, I've heard a couple of different things for it. If you think of 666 being like the devil's number, quote unquote, 333 is half of that. And so it's potentially a light version, a positive, you know, people believe that if they see 333 or 444 or 1111, it's a positive sign. But also, like, on the other side, three is considered the witching hour, but three is also considered the Holy Trinity. And then if you have three threes, I don't know if that makes it even more sacred.
Yeah. So I did a little research on it, and three in the Bible is a symbol of life and resurrection.
Okay. Makes sense.
So the shedding of the old and the beginning of the new, kind of what we pieced together from the first scene. So three would make a lot of sense. Three threes in the Bible, they call it the angel number. It means that maybe your angel, your guardian angel, is trying to get in touch with you.
Okay.
If you see, like, if you wake up and see 333 on the clock, this website that I'm on, reinhart.org, which has a long, in-depth article about the number three in the Bible, this website says that your guardian angel may be begging you to take action. Mm. Your guardian angel may also be telling you that a baby is going to be born soon if you see the numbers 333, or also that you're about to have a spiritual experience, which, you know, kind of makes a little bit of sense.
But I'm confused as to why these people would be using it, because it's not a number that seems to apply to them and what they're trying to do specifically, unless they're trying to somehow mock the Trinity or mock the Bible by writing it in blood.
I mean, these scenes look like they're related to Satanism.
Sure.
Or voodooism. I also should note, I actually just noticed this looking at the photos online, that the two hands of the clock where the 333 is written, they're both pointed to the number six. So yeah, maybe you nailed that, Bethany. Maybe it's a mocking thing. And the number six, infamous for representing the devil, particularly 666. If someone's just trying to fuck with local authorities, they've done an excellent job. And
when you were looking, because I don't know a ton about voodoo, does the pentagram have anything to do in the voodoo tradition? Because I know it does in witchcraft.
That's right. Because in the second scene, isn't there a pentagram that's circled with a white powder?
But like in witchcraft, if the star is facing up, so it's one point at the top and two points at the bottom, it symbolizes the human form, and it's meant as a sign of protection, and it's a good thing. It's not a scary thing. It's a positive. It's a good force. And they, you know, I don't know which direction they meant to have it, but it's also possible that they just didn't know what they were doing and were sort of doing like what my Airbnb host did, which is take a bunch of different spiritualities and religions and kind of throw them together. So I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. The pentagram and voodoo, from what I'm seeing, is what you just told us.
So voodoo does use the pentagram.
Yes, okay. It does. Okay. Just from a very cursory search right now on Google, there are a lot of articles out there that with the words voodoo and pentagram in them and that seem to relate them to one another.
Okay.
I mean, I don't, it's just, it's really strange. The whole thing, April 17th, two scenes about an hour apart from each other, both in recreational parks in West Virginia. And the dolls with the missing heads and the missing body parts and the blood and their hair and just scattered everywhere. The first scene had a lot of alcohols, you know, some water bottles and some beer bottles and stuff strewn in that you can see in the photos. But who knows if that was there before or not.
That's crazy. So yeah, we'll have to stay updated and see what's going on, because this just happened.
This is currently being investigated. The Greenbrier County Sheriff's Office, the Division of Natural Resources, and White Sulphur Springs Police Department, they say that they're all investigating Sergeant Andy Lyons. He's the one that's heading this up. He's treating it like an environmental animal cruelty related crime.
Good.
Yeah, because given the dead birds that were found at the site, that's the thing that's most important to them right now. So it's not like they're ignoring it, but I don't think there are any leads as of now.
Oh, man.
I really want more media outlets to pick up on this stuff.
I know. I'm curious if anybody from West Virginia gets back to you, because I know you called and reached out.
Yes. Is there anyone listening to this right now that lives in West Virginia? Maybe I'll continue to call and pretend I'm a true reporter.
You are a true reporter.
This is Kathleen, and I'm reporting from an Acquire Taste podcast. There's a dead doll and dead birds, and I need to know more.
We need the truth.
Bethany.
Yes.
As I said in my opener today, I'm your cookie eating, bagel eating, muffin eating. Listen, there's a time and place for everything, but I need a reset, and I'm going to do that reset with my Noom app. And that reset starts right now.
Noom is here not to judge you, Kathleen. Mm-hmm. The app is here to help you out. And that's one of the reasons we love it. Noom helps you achieve the goals that you want. It's not just about weight loss. Because, you know, we are not about weight loss. We're about feeling good in your body.
Yeah.
So if you want to feel better in your body, Noom is there. But if you also want your mental health to be better because you're making better food choices, you're in more harmony with what you're eating, Noom is there.
I don't know any other food lifestyle apps like Noom that get to the psychology behind the decisions you're making. That is why Noom has worked for me in the past, and that is why I'm putting my trust in Noom moving forward.
Noom is the habit-changing solution. It helps you learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. It teaches you why you do the things you do, and then it gives you the tools you need to break bad habits and replace them with better ones. But it's not a diet.
It just takes 10 minutes a day. I feel like it's a little bit of me time.
Yeah.
It's all about flexibility and lifestyle.
And you're not doing it alone. You have a goal specialist and an entire Noom community. They are there to support you and help you because they're going through the same things.
You don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps means big progress.
Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com/taste. That's N as in new beginnings. O-O-M as in, my goodness, those beginnings are new, .com/taste.
What do you have to lose? Nothing. Visit Noom.com/taste to start your trial today. That's Noom.com/taste.
I'm so hungry. I just want to eat again.
I had a disaster dinner the other night. I have to tell you.
Tell me what happened.
Okay, so have you ever seen these things online? It's like one pot. You put your pasta and all the ingredients in, and you just boil it up, and it's a delicious looking pasta dish in one pot.
Yeah.
And you've seen that online?
Of course.
So I was scrolling through Instagram, and I saw this woman doing a one pot thing. And then I was like, okay, let me do some more research into this one pot thing. And I combined two different one pot recipes.
So it was two pots into one pot.
Two pot, one disgusting dinner.
What happened?
As it turned out, three disgusting dinners because there was a lot of food wasted and I made us eat all of it.
Okay, what? Tell me what.
Okay, whole wheat spaghetti in one pot.
Delicious.
Okay, then some garlic in there.
Okay.
Then some baby spinach.
Great.
Then some pumpkin, raw pumpkin, you know, like from a can, okay, unsweetened. Then some tomato sauce, okay, a little bit of dried basil, some olive oil, mix, boil it, you know, bring it to a boil, let it cool, let all those good starches come out of the pasta, okay, thicken everything up. Supposed to be delicious.
Great.
Not terrible.
Wait, so was that one recipe or both recipes combined?
Just a little bit of this, a little bit of that from each recipe.
You lost me at the pumpkin.
Yeah, I mean, the pumpkin's supposed to make it creamy. The first recipe said you could add puree butternut squash or Bethany, I don't know, whatever. My husband very rarely doesn't like what I make. He's usually very kind. He said to me, I am not eating this another night in a row.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, just you wait, mister.
Do tomatoes, like tomato sauce and pumpkins, typically go together?
I don't know, Bethany.
Because
I don't know either.
I
shaved some cheese on top of it and we both ate it.
Yeah.
The next night, I was like, okay, I'm going to put this in the oven. I'm going to bake it.
Okay.
I'm going to bake it.
You're going to bake it and the baking will make it better?
I'm going to add some mozzarella and bake it, bake out some of this awful liquid and then the cheese will make it better. Nope. Just as terrible. Just as terrible. Really not good.
The cheese didn't cover all the bad?
Nope. Day number three. We still have a lot of it left. And it's lunchtime.
Oh, no.
So I bake it again. This time I added some pesto. And I'm like, meh.
Twice baked pumpkin tomato.
We ate it for lunch. It was better than the other two previous times after it was twice baked. And then dinner came along and we still had more of it left. So I put it in the oven for a third time.
Thrice baked.
Bethany, it was delicious.
Okay, now you know. You do it all. You boil it. You let it cool. You refrigerate it overnight. Then you bake, refrigerate overnight. Bake, refrigerate. Bake again.
Bake again.
Delicious.
And it's delicious. Delicious. By the third bake, the noodles had hardened, and it was kind of like this creamy, crunchy spaghetti pie. Yum. It was actually pretty good.
Dude,
it was good.
I love hard noodles. I love al dente noodles, and I love noodles that once were al dente, then got mushy, then got baked three times, and then became hard again.
Yes, because you know when someone presents you with a tray of baked ziti, the best part's the pasta on the edge that's sort of like hard and chewy and crusty.
Yeah.
Give me that burned corner. That sweet, sweet burned corner.
That is my epic Corona dinner nightmare that fed us for four meals.
Yeah, that's typically how I cook too, which is just throwing everything in a pot. The thing that you do differently is that you look at a recipe. I go, what are flavors my mom put together? Pasta, tomato sauce, vegetables, cool, throw those in there. Sometimes a bean. And then, you know, cheese. My nutritionist has stopped trying to get me to do anything else. And she's just resigned herself to praising me whenever I turn on my oven.
See, this is why I want to make a company that's like Escape the Room, but it's Chopped, like the TV show from the Food Network. Yeah. You go and you compete against your friends. I don't like the fact that there would be a lot of food waste because there are people that would make some truly, really disgusting things.
I was talking to a friend about the show Nailed It, which is a wonderful show.
I love the host of that show, Nicole Byer.
Yeah. It's people who can't bake who go on to a baking competition. And I was asked, like, would you go on Nailed It? And I said, yes.
Yes.
But I think I'm too good. And then that person burst out laughing and that hurt my feelings.
Bethany, I think the same thing about myself going on that show, but I think that the time constraint in which they put you under is just sets you up for failure, like hilarious failure.
Here's the thing. I would say yes if they didn't give you the recipe. Like if it was a little bit more like the Great British Bake Off where you kind of had to know the recipe yourself and go into it because you practiced it, but they give them the recipe. They have iPads sitting out on the table and they have the recipe in front of them.
They do. And still so many of them mess up the recipe. They like forget the main ingredient, which is like chocolate.
Well, and they do what so many people do, which is like, I don't need that. I don't need that, or I can substitute that. It'll work just fine. I know enough to know that that's not going to work, but I do think that my skills of decoration are thus that.
Okay, Bethany, whatever.
I would be too good for Nailed It.
You think so?
I'd be
you
too
think so.
Good at baking.
Since we're talking about Nailed It, we must talk about Nicole Byer's podcast. She has a couple of them, but the one that I really love is Why Won't You Date Me?
She's never had a relationship in her entire life, right?
No, she hasn't. She's the host of Nailed It. She's also an actress. She's been in probably a dozen different things that you've seen on TV over the years. I love her dearly. Please check out her podcast, Why Won't You Date Me? It's hilarious.
She's great. She's so funny. I love her voice. She's also a frequent guest on How Did This Get Made? And I really like her on that. I like her so much. She's very, very funny.
Speaking of TV shows that you've seen lately, what are you watching that's pretty good?
If you are a fan of Cozy Mysteries and you love Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries, her new exclusive movie for Acorn is out called Miss Fisher and the Crypt of Tears.
Right. So Acorn is a network you subscribe to because you don't have cable, correct?
Yes. And I love it. And it's like Canadian shows and British shows. It's how I watch Murdoch Mysteries, too.
So you pay a monthly fee.
Yeah, it's like $4.99 or something.
Now, talk to me about Shudder, because you've mentioned Shudder on this podcast a couple of times.
Yes.
That's also a streaming app, but it's only horror movies, right?
Yeah, it's like creepy stuff. And it's horror movies. They were doing something. I don't know if they're still doing it, but it was really cool. It was like 6 months until Halloween, like a marathon of all the Halloween movies.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, it's scary movies. It's like original content or, you know, also movies that are classics and niche things. It's really good. I love it. Again, if you know anyone at Shudder, let me know because we have a show to pitch to them.
You know, there's so many amazing streaming platforms out there now for people with very specific tastes. Gentle listener, if there's a particular sort of unknown streaming platform that you subscribe to that you love the content, please let us know about it. We would love to talk about it.
Yeah, definitely. Like I'm sure that there are streaming platforms just for like, you know, people who love being adults, but playing with, you know, My Little Ponies, like bronies. I'm sure there's a brony network.
More mainstream and less niche. I subscribed to recently the Apple TV network.
Yeah.
And I can't stop talking about the show Morning Show.
That was like the face of Apple Plus or whatever that is called, right?
Yes.
Like that was
it was
big
the premiere
thing.
Show. Yeah. Have you seen it yet?
I have not. No.
It is the best piece of television I have seen in a very long time.
Really?
And there are huge stars in it. Reese Witherspoon, Jennifer Aniston, Steve Carell, Mark Duplass, just really talented actors. It was the type of show where I'm holding my breath and screaming at the television when the episode ends because I can't take the suspense. It was physically hurting
me.
And the final episode is just, it was such a blowout end all episode. You get a week's trial and you can definitely binge the show in a week. There's like 10 episodes. Each episode's about an hour long. So if you dedicate a couple nights to it in a week, like 2 hours or 3 hours at a time, you can get it done. It is the best thing I've seen in a very long time.
That's amazing. I'm glad to hear that. You're the one who made me watch Big Little Lies.
Yes.
So I trust your opinion on television.
And you know it's good TV when some of the episodes, they make you sick to your stomach.
Oh, wow. That's a ringing endorsement.
It's just pulling out all of your just your deepest, darkest emotions. There's no horror, you know, there's no blood, there's no guts, there's no killing. Yeah. It's just, I can't stop thinking about it.
I read an article, I think it was about Morning Show, where they had written it before the Harvey Weinstein and the whole Me Too movement. And they had to go back and rewrite it because it no longer felt appropriate.
Well, it's very loosely based on Matt Lauer's exit at the Today Show.
Do you remember where you were when that was announced? Because I sure do.
Yeah, I was at work.
We were at work and I was in charge of reporting news once an hour. And I wasn't sure if I should report it because I didn't know if it was true. Like, that's how much... Yeah. Blew my mind.
I remember Savannah Guthrie, and then I believe it was Hoda, sitting next to her reporting on their coworker leaving or being ousted from NBC. I mean, just heart-wrenching. And Morning Show, Jennifer Aniston, she plays a sort of a dark character, and she really nails it. It's not like what you're used to seeing Jennifer Aniston
Good
play.
Good for her. I'm glad she's getting that kind of role.
Amen. Yeah. That is my recommendation for the week.
I'm a little bit mad at, is it Apple Plus?
Apple Plus.
Because my producing partner and I are like pitching a couple shows right now. And
to that?
Well, we reached out to them and they like the concept, but it needs, I think the phrasing is premier talent. So like, because it's not starring, like...
You know, what the hell? F you.
It needs like Chris Hemsworth in it. If anyone knows Chris Hemsworth, send him my way.
You know what, Bethany? I feel like you could reach out to Laura Dern. I feel like she might do it for you.
I love her.
I love Laura.
Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
This week? I learned that really fancy champagne tastes exactly the same as moderately fancy champagne.
It really does.
And I'll tell you why I know this. So yesterday we buried my father, and on my way out to meet my mom at the graveyard, I said to my husband, will you just grab a bottle of champagne from the closet? We'll chill when we get to my mom's house and we'll toast to my dad, because one of my dad's favorite drinks was champagne. And so I stuck it in the fridge, and then we went to the gravesite, put his body in the ground, and said our goodbyes. And we went back to my mom's house and we popped the bottle of champagne. It was just a funeral of three, you know, it was just my mom and Neil and myself, and we're drinking the champagne, and Neil goes, oh, I've never seen this bottle before. I had no idea where I'd gotten it. I think I'd gotten it from work. Mm-hmm. I think my big boss at the job that I used to have was cleaning out his liquor cabinet, and he was like, I don't want this champagne. Get rid of it.
Right.
So I took it home. Bethany, this was Drake's champagne. We were toasting to my father, drinking Drake's personal line of champagne that costs, you ready for this? $450 a bottle. A bottle. This was just sitting in my closet. I didn't even know I had it. I was just like, oh, whatever. This is just some champagne. Just my mom and my husband and myself just there drinking Drake champagne. I'm telling you, it didn't taste any different from the bottles that I usually spend like $20 on or $30 on.
Yeah.
No difference whatsoever. But you know what, Bethany? That bottle of champagne for my family, it was God's plan.
There it is. You've been waiting for that. God, you're proud of it. Look at your face. You're so proud of yourself.
Oh, shit. I forgot you could see me.
I can totally see you.
It was God's plan. It was God's plan for us to drink that.
All right.
God's plan. Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned that if you're trying to drill through porcelain, a masonry bit will not do the job. Porcelain is much denser than you thought it was, and you need a diamond-tipped bit, and that is my bad.
Can I ask you why you were trying to drill through porcelain?
Because I have this plant holder shaped like a swan. And I wanted to use it for proper plants, but I need it to have drain holes in it. And I was like, well, I have a masonry drill bit. obviously. So I bust that out and I perch the swan onto a couple of yoga blocks to, you know, stabilize. And probably 10 or 15 minutes of drilling. And I would have to take a break every once in a while because the drill bit would heat up so much that it would loosen itself and then fall out of the drill. And then I took the swan off of the yoga brick and it had two melted holes in the yoga brick, even though I never made it through the swan. It was so hot. It heated up and melted the yoga bricks despite never making it through the swan. So it is, porcelain is too dense for masonry drill bit.
Yeah.
That's what I learned.
Yeah.
I almost set my house on fire.
Best of luck with your weird DIYs. You should just... I don't know, girl. I don't know.
I want to put a plan in that goose. Girl, I want to put a plan in your goose.
Stuff that goose.
Stuff that goose with some organic catnip plant.
We both need lunch. It's very obvious.
Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
I am at WebGirlKathleen on everything.
I am Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter.
If you want to follow this podcast, you can do so on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out our fan group when you're on there.
We have a website on the World Wide Web. Go to www.anacquiredtastepodcast.com.
Yeah, if you're looking for a promo code for one of the commercials we've done on this podcast ever, I've populated all of our promo code links and things there.
Awesome. You can also send us, I would say don't send us mail right now because we really can't go check it. If you just want to put it in your book, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Yes. And wherever you're listening to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best. Helps us move up in the ranks. We are always eternally grateful when we see a new review pop up on our iTunes or our Spotify.
Our podcast is edited by Charlotte Gartenberg. You can follow her on social media. On Instagram, she is lit_fuck. And on Twitter, she is Shargar.
And if you want to send us an email, you can reach us on electronic mail and acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. So good to have you back, Kathleen. I missed you.
Oh, thanks, Bethany. So, taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, ladies. My name is Lauren. I am a healthcare worker in New York City, and I know that a lot of people are saying thank you to the healthcare workers. And honestly, I just wanted to reach out and say thank you to the two of you and to all the other creators and streamers and content makers that are on the internet and keeping us going and keeping smiles on our faces. I don't think that you guys realize how the alone time that we have right now in this world is so precious, and to turn you guys on and you always put a smile on my face, to have that moment of solace at a girl talk when I can't go see my family, it's really helpful. Thank you.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. Taste Bud Jessica here. I've been watching a lot of TLC over this quarantine period, and on this one commercial that keeps playing, our favorite person, Zach Bagans, keeps coming up. He's like screaming at the camera, and he says something like, "Be creative, write something." And I always think of Bethany and her love of ghost adventures.
Hey, ladies. This is Ashley from Iowa City, Iowa. Kathleen, I just wanted to let you know that I'm thinking of you. I'm so sorry for everything that's going on, and I love you. I'm a hugger. I wish I could give you a hug and make things better. We're thinking of you, and we love you, and wish we could do something for you. So,
ladies, I'm having a day, like a day and a half, actually. My boyfriend went to the bathroom, and then the toilet wouldn't flush. We opened my shower, and my shower is filled with gross, gross, gross poop water. The water starts leaking to my drop ceiling below, which explodes all over my table and all of my work from home stuff. So I call my complex's office and explain it to them. They're like, "I'm sorry, we're only sending maintenance people for emergencies." And I was like, "What do you mean only emergencies? I have poop water on my floor."
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Vanessa from Wisconsin. And I just want to say, Kathleen, you are an amazing person. And I really want you to get through this. I wish I could give you a personal hug during this time. And Bethany, you are also an amazing person. I wish I could just hug you both because you guys are so amazing for keeping us taste buds so strong. And thank you for everything that you do in this whole entire podcast community. I know, Kathleen, you're going through so much. And I am so sorry. I'm really so sorry.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. My name's Colleen. I was just listening to the pod. Driving home from my school that I work at, we were just distributing laptops. I work in a low-income neighborhood, and I'm feeling my feels right now because I got to see some of my kids, but we obviously weren't allowed to get near them, but just waving to them made me really happy but really sad. So, I don't know, I just wanted to call and, like, yeah, there's a lot of teachers out there that listen, and I'm right there with you guys. Good luck at the end of the year. Love you all.
Hey, Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Sarah. I am sure you have heard this a whole lot, but I am so, so, so sorry for what you're going through. And thank you so much for having the courage and the strength to share your story with all of us. There are people in my own family who I have been having the please stay home, please don't go out, just stay safe discussion. And I will be playing your part of the podcast back for them. And for my friends who are already being safe and could use some cheering up, oh, you better believe that the story of your dad pretending to be a hawk to chase away the ducks is about to be way bigger than you and your family and Bert and his friends. Your dad is going to live on through you for the rest of your life, and we are all so grateful to him and your mother and your family for giving us the Kathleen that we have. And thinking of you, and I know thoughts and prayers only do so much, but you got him big time, girl. Really, really big. Really big hug and a lot of love. Take care. Bye.